Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Just got in from Boston last night, late yesterday afternoon. It was quite a weekend. Started with the Run for Autism on Saturday morning. And normally putting on a race is stress in itself for me personally. Anybody that knows me well knows that's not an exaggeration. And with the heavy rains we had Saturday morning, pretty scary stuff. We avoided lightning. We pulled off the race, the Run for Autism. We had a huge turnout. Mike, we were just talking. You were there. Had a tremendous performance. You ran negative splits. It's beautiful. We had 91 people show up on race day to sign up. That's unprecedented.
Oh, that's awesome.
For a day when it's pouring.
That's
and
right.
When the weather forecast was, 100% the day before the thing, 100% horrible tomorrow.
Right.
So we had 670 people. It's positioned itself as one of the largest 5Ks in town, but it is now officially the second of all 85 races we have in Charlottesville. It's the second largest fundraiser behind the Women's 4-Miler. Pretty amazing.
That's
women's 4-Miler
is
3,500 women. It says 670 people. How are they doing it? It's through a lot of fundraising through the families and friends of the school. Kate Lambert was tremendous help. I'm so impressed with the support that the school continues to get. And Mike, it was a tough morning. It's a memory morning. I would say you remember the rainy ones more than you do the perfect days. Why? Because they bring out they enhance the challenge. They bring out the best in you. They bring out that kind of bring it on. Can't beat them, join them. Don't let the weather get to you. That kind of attitude that, you think to yourself, how many people were outside at that given moment in Charlottesville? Very few. They'd cancel the parade. They'd cancel soccer games. They'd cancel baseball games. But here we were running in the rain, pouring rain. Could barely see, 200 yards down there without having to squint. It looked like heavy snow. And you ran beautiful. You said, you broke 90 minutes for the 10-miler.
Right.
Okay,
broke
so
90.
We're looking at 9-minute pace there. You equate that down, it's about 30 seconds to 35. So you should have been able to run for this 5K, you should have been able to run about 8:20 to 8:30 pace.
Okay.
And yet, on a miserable day, not a very easy course. The course runs starts at Charlottesville High School track, and it's a very steep hill to leave the track. Why? You got to go across the little footbridge. Anybody knows that area there, got to go up into McIntyre Park. You ran an 8:24 opener.
8:24 opener.
You said, what was your goal? Were you shooting for 8-minute pace?
I wanted to break 24.
That was an aggressive goal. That was a bold move on your part because 10 miles was a perfect day, and that told us that you should have been able to run about 8:20. So here you are taking 20 seconds off that in your mind. Okay, so 8:24 mile.
Yeah, I guess maybe the reason I thought that was when I finished the 10-miler, I felt really good, like really good. So I knew inside of me I thought I probably could have done a better 10-miler time when I was done because I felt I had juice in me to go a few more miles and could be good. So maybe I could have used that somewhere along in mile eight or nine.
So what was your previous 5K PR?
I think high 24s.
High 24s. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 8:24 opener. Then your second mile was you went through in 16:05.
Right.
So you chunked off. You'd run like a 7. What is that? A 7:35, somewhere in there? Somewhere
right.
7:40, somewhere
7:41,
in there. 7:41 second mile. So you're ready. That's a huge negative split. You maybe could have gone out a little faster.
Right.
And afforded that, but still, that gave you that energy. And then closed out with a sub 8-minute last mile and finished with, you said,
52, I believe.
23:52. So that's a tremendous effort. That's a sub 8-minute pace.
Yeah.
So, I would say now that, you congratulate yourself. You say, awesome. But then it turns itself around and says, okay, next time I do a 10-miler, I should be able to run 8:30 pace.
Right.
So, you're in that trajectory I like to see with young runners so often, not necessarily young in age, but young as an experience.
Sure.
That you're just chewing up all kinds of real estate. So this runner that's been inside you, and I say this to people all the time, doesn't matter how late in life, everybody can find the runner inside of them. And we're going to talk about that in a second with Boston. So here you are, didn't run growing up, right?
You
played other sports, which is perfectly natural, normal. Most people aren't attracted to running in high school. Looks like a long way to go. It hurts. What? No cheerleaders. Nobody's out there really cheering you on that much except for some hardcore parents.
Right.
There's no break. There's no timeouts. somebody in the middle of a 5K race in cross country doesn't say, okay, everybody on the sidelines, go to timeout, let's take a break. It hurts, painful, not attractive sport. Nevertheless, here you are, 28
in May.
28 May, okay.
Well, I remember, it's funny you say that, when I was in the third grade, we would do the mile run every year, and I would get so excited to do the mile run.
You would.
In third grade, loved it. And I would get times around like 7:30.
Oh, you see, the natural talent was there.
But
and the desire was
and
there.
And then it just kind of stopped. But I would get so excited for that mile run. It was all part of the fitness test. We had the shuttle run. We would do pull-ups. But the mile run was the one I would get amped up for.
Yeah, I'm a big sports person, period, as far as I really encourage parents to get their kids engaged in sports early on. I actually like to see running come later in the equation because it is a very mental sport.
Right.
And you have to be somewhat mature. And mature as in understand it all and really get the whole picture. A lot of those other sports doesn't mean you can't be mature, but there's immediate gratification. You kick a soccer ball, it moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually you start to kick it and it catches up to another person. Oh my gosh, that's a pass. Then before you know it, you're running down the field dribbling with it. You're scoring a goal.
Yeah.
Running, it doesn't quite reward you at the same level. It doesn't have the same stimulation. So it's a nice adult sport. So congrats to you.
Thank you very much.
And all the other folks that ran on this horrific day. And I was out there volunteering, so I can only imagine what it was feeling like racing. Had a lot of help with the volunteering, by the way. My daughter Audrey and Dave Murphy and Sophie Spidell. It could go on to Anna Castle. It was all over the place. Carol Finch, Ben McCoy. It was great. We had all kinds of help everywhere out there. It really made a difference. But the big story of the weekend, no slight to the Run for Autism, but my gosh, granddaddy of them all, Boston. We had close to 35. We had about 50 locals go up, about 35 of them, peoples that I'm in their lives at some level. I've had the great pleasure of working with a lot of these folks, helping coach them. And my gosh, they had great days up there. It was a unique day. It was hard to, from down here in Charlottesville, you'd see the weather. You saw the world record was broken. You say, oh my gosh, fantastic day, perfect. It was highs in the high 50s. It's sunny out. I'm tired from coming in yesterday. I'm exhausted from the weekend, but a tailwind, I think it's all perfect. It wasn't. It was a brutal day, a lot of cramping, a lot of salt deficiency. A lot of sunburn. People said it was one of the most surprisingly difficult conditions they'd ever run in. A lot of veterans. Heidi Johnson, it was her 10th Boston. She said it was one of the more challenging years. People pouring water on their head, Mike, at 5 miles. Cynthia poured water on her head at 5 miles and kept pouring it on her head throughout the race. If you didn't take the right stuff often enough, meaning getting the salts and potassiums and all your electrolytes, you're going to be in trouble. We had six of our athletes that I coached, six of them took bathroom breaks. And I don't mean the kind of bathroom break where you run off in the woods and, go pee-pee. This is different. That's a really unusual statistic to even be talking about publicly. But, if the 35 people, have six of them tell me one of them was in the porta-john for four minutes. That's chewing up some time there. So tough on the gut, tough on the system. What am I getting at? These guys did amazing. We had great performances all over the place. It started in four waves. First wave was at 9:32. So Louise Knutson, that was the elite women's field. There were 75 women invited to run in the Boston Marathon elite field. They got their own bus. They got to start earlier. Got a lot of good treatment, but they still had to run the same doggone challenging course, point to point. 9:32, gun goes off. Off Louise goes immediately. She's in dead last place, which was the strategy. So Louise, I work with her along with Dana Thiele. She's one of our Ragged Mountain racers. She's a nurse over at UVA, 26 years old, I believe. Anyway, Louise knew this. She said, I'll go out at my own pace. I said, Louise, be careful of those women. They're going to go out really fast. Don't get sucked in with them. Pace yourself. She's beautiful at this. She paced herself bit by bit, picked people off to the point that she ended up with those 75 women. She was 23rd.
That's great.
She picked off, 50 of them.
Right.
Okay. She ran 2:42:42. Her goal was to run somewhere between 2:42 and 2:46 because 2:46 is the Olympic marathon qualifying time.
Sure.
Her previous best was 2:47. She ran 2:42.
That's great.
Louise Knutson is going to the Olympic trials. Very exciting. She was the ninth American at the Boston Marathon. Not the ninth American at the Charlottesville 10 Miler, which we love the 10 Miler, near and dear to my heart. Not the ninth woman at the women's 4 Miler. She's the ninth American.
That's unbelievable.
Woman at the Boston Marathon. 6:13 a mile. This is the same woman who opened with a 3:18 just 3 years ago. Pretty neat stuff.
Wow.
Louise has Very little background in running. She ran in high school, didn't run in college, and has found it, like yourself, kind of late in life, so to speak. People say, oh, that's still young. But to be qualifying, to usually someone's a really great runner in high school and college, and then someone says, okay, you got a chance at making the Olympic trials.
So in a year, she chunked off about 36 to 40 minutes.
Well, she went from 318 3 years ago down to 309.
Gotcha.
Then she went 258. So she had 318 at Richmond, 308 at Boston, 258 at New York, 251 at Boston. Then Chicago last year was 85, 90 degrees. She went 249. It wasn't as big as improvement she won. Then she went 247 out in California. And now today she blew, you know,
that's great.
She blew it wide open. So congrats to her. Tremendous. Second wave went off at 10 o'clock, and then another one at 10:20, and then last wave at 10:40. And I had four watches on because I had athletes in all four waves.
Yeah.
And then I walked out to the 25-and-a-half-mile mark, 25.6, maybe 25.5, to watch them come in. Got to see the leaders, got to see the women. Very tight race there. We had two American women in the top four. Very, very impressive. And, of course, we got to see Ryan Hall. I mix it up with the Kenyans. Kenyans had once again had a day, great day. But from that point forward, and then Louise came in. Seth Hutchinson had a really great day up until 21 miles and then just started to struggle with some salt deficiency and had some issues there and ended up still an impressive time at 2:28, but far off what he wanted to do in qualifying for the trials. Million people along the course. It's Patriots Day. It's a holiday.
Yep.
And that's why the late start, which is funky. Because the late start, you know, it really punishes the runners.
Breakfast and everything.
And Red Sox game, Mike, very cool, going on. Their only morning game. Who plays morning baseball in professional baseball? No one.
Right.
But, of course, in Boston, they really are a happening city when it comes to loving their sports teams and knowing the sports. And it was cool to be up there. The Celtics are playing.
That's right.
At home.
Yeah.
The Bruins were there, I think at home.
I know the Celtics were home.
But anyway, the Bruins in the playoffs, and then the Red Sox on a streak.
Yeah.
Won three in a row, pretty decent for a team that was, you know, stinking it up.
Yeah.
And they have the Boston Marathon, all kind of wrapped around the same weekend.
That's cool.
So just to call out to some of these amazing folks that I'm, you know, have the pleasure of just having a small amount to do with their running, just incredibly hardy attitudes. Mike, the day was so brutal on these people and so tough. And yet we had this post-race party back in the hotel that our captain, I was teased, Captain Heidi Johnson, sets up. Everyone was there. And if you looked around the room and you came up to me and said, Mark, I can't pick out the people that have bad races here today. I can't tell. They're all partying. They're all laughing. They're all joking. Every person came into that room after the marathon, regardless of whether they hit their time or not. Real, really good sign of team camaraderie and good attitude about getting the fact that you just completed one of the hardest marathons in the world on a very challenging day. And for the most part, everybody either nailed their time, came close to their time, or made a valiant effort at it. Just kind of reeling off Sarah Bravort. She's a med student at UVA. Had the pleasure of coaching her this last 6-8 months. She went 255. She's another one on a trajectory. 324, 303, 255. Three marathons. Another one that's no running background to speak of. Very cool. Steve Kazuko. He's one of our really cheerleading type guys on our Boston bound team 256. Jim Ryan, he's a professor over at the law school. First sub 3 hours ever. He's 44 years old, 256. His wife ran a big PR, 337. Kind of cool to have a husband and wife team out there. Amy Martin, 306. Jenny Jorvik, 302. These are all PRs. These are their best times ever. Really, really impressive stuff. Kenny Ball, 54 year old antique salesman. He started at 401 just 3 years ago. I guess it's about 3 years, maybe closer to four. But anyway, 401, he's down to 316. And he's getting older. And we're not talking about Mike Biseglia going from 26 to 30 years old.
Right.
He's gone from 50 to 54, and he's getting faster all the time.
Pretty cool.
That 316 translates to about 728 a mile. Heidi Johnson, 10 straight Bostons, never has been able to break 330 up there. Got the big, big Boston monkey off her back. She ran 323. Huge, huge day for her. Carolyn Getson, 329. But kind of throwing out some awards here. Attitude Award, people that came off their races, didn't do what they really wanted to do time-wise. I personally think they had great efforts. But just to see them afterwards, hear them talking about the perspective, how blessed we are to be able to run the Boston Marathon. In the grand scheme of problems in the world, me not running my time, not such a big deal. Just real pause. Can't wait to do another one. Seth Hutchinson, You think a guy would have disappeared. He wanted to run 218. He runs 228. There he was at the post-race party, smiling. Mark, when do you think I can do another one? I'm hungry. I'm fit. I had an off day today. Got a little cramping and stuff. When can we do another one? Really great right. attitude. Bonnie Wilfor, she was trying to break 4 hours, had run 401 last year. She goes, I'm ecstatic with my 402, Mark, based on the conditions. Like I said, Cynthia was pouring water on her head at 5 miles into this race. Joan Samuelson, the great, great, she's qualified for every single Olympic trials. She won the gold medal in 84. Like she's made the team, made the Olympic qualifying trials time 84, 88, 92, 96, 2000, 2004, 2008. She's trying to make it in 2012. She ran 251, 246 as a standard. 5 minutes off. Joan Benoit, the great Joan Samuelson, tells you something. Robin Truxell, you know, she says, Mark, even though I was off the time I was shooting for, I ran a huge Boston PR, meaning a course PR. Bill Potts, he's over at the heart transplant unit. He said, Mark, it was just, even though I ran, didn't run the time I wanted to, I'm just so ecstatic about being a part of this group and being able, I mean, you have great, great attitudes. Beating the Heat Awards, Mike Gaffney and Linda Skander both ended up in the medical tent, but not after having gallantly fought through to tremendous times. Mike ran 3:42. He had to walk the last half mile because he had cramped up so much from the salt depletion. They had to IV him. And Linda Skander, same thing, ended up in the tent at the end, 4:01. Her previous best, 4:11. 4:11 down to 4:01. She knocked off 10 minutes. And Mark Hampton, Harry Landers, two guys that really, you know, seemingly should have been disappointed, didn't run the time they wanted to. Put it all in perspective. Started to have problems late in the race, backed off, and said, I'm just going to have a good time out here rather than trying to kill myself. Sure. Really great attitudes. George Rich punched through a 3:27. Peggy Mowbray, 3:42. Nicole George, she's a personal trainer over at ACAC, 3:23. I mean, just tremendous. I could go on and on and on about these wonderful people. Lisa Drake flew home with her and a gang of them. With Cynthia and my family, I say, and Lisa Drake was on the plane. And just, you would never know that she didn't hit her time that she wanted to. Just gushing. And Mike, there was this big, we had the post-race party. Then everyone broke off to go to dinner separately.
Right.
I thought that was it for the weekend. This is Monday night. I mean, these people just ran the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
So the word gets out that everyone's meeting in the bar in this hotel. We're talking 35 people plus spouse and family. Well, I'm exhausted. Plus, it's time for the coach now because I treat them like a real team. Coach never parties with his athletes.
Right.
That's a golden rule. You never do that. So Cynthia goes down. Audrey, my daughter, was there. She went down. They said it was unbelievable. It was like New Year's Eve. They were celebrating.
Everybody together.
So,
that's great.
Very cool. And that's the camaraderie of the sport.
So that's good.
Really, really impressive stuff. I'm so proud of them. There was a Boston 5K the day before. That was really neat. So all the spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, family of the marathoners were able to run in this race. There were 5,000 of us. And there were 15 of us that ran. We got up early, went out there at 8 o'clock. And the marathoners, our buddies, they were on the sidelines cheering us on. And we crossed the finish line of the Boston Marathon exact same place.
Oh,
a little cheesy,
awesome.
But very cool. Laura Bellis, she's a woman I've had the pleasure of coaching the last couple of years. Her daughter, Julia, worked for us for many years. She won the 55 to 59 age group. She ran 24-24. 2 years ago, she barely could break 30 minutes. She's improved 6 minutes in 1 year.
Wow.
So two races ago, so the 2000, it's 2 years. It's 2 years ago. So 2009. She ran 29-something. Last year, she ran 26-something. This year, she ran 24. Tremendous. Bob Johnson, 23:26. He was our first area finisher. Jay Alexander, Kristen Keller. Janice Jackwith, she writes for The Hook, and she does great, great, great writing. She does a lot of great commentary, very witty. Her first 5K I've ever seen her in, that was tremendous. Kenny Ball's kid, the guy I told you about earlier, his daughter Chloe. She did tremendous. Wendy Hagen, Amy Martin, I talked about earlier, 306, her husband was there. It was a very, very neat kind of shift of it made us feel part of the weekend and that
right,
we'd done something
that's
athletic.
A great idea.
But by far the coolest thing for me was my two daughters, Annie and Audrey, ran with my daughter-in-law, my only daughter-in-law, Lauren. So Lauren, Annie, and Audrey ran together the whole way. And it was Annie, my 14-year-old's first race ever.
Oh, wow.
So very cool, 5K and a They finished very nicely, just over 30 minutes, and they had a really great time. So all of it just made me feel like this is just one kick butt weekend.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. So
that's good.
Mike, a couple of facts about Boston. Some things I learned over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, what I learned after being up there, even though I've been to Boston many times for the race. No U.S. woman has won the Boston Marathon since 1983. That was Lisa Weidenbach. American woman came within half a second this year. It was a lean at the tape, basically. The Kenyan won. She was second. But again, we put two U.S. women in the top four, so we're gaining ground on the great African nations who continue to help us American runners, the great American runners, to get even that much better.
Right.
Sun is a huge handicap. I learned that once again, that it doesn't matter the temperature, even if it seems cool, that sun is the ultimate enemy of a long-distance racer. It truly is. It depletes. It beats you down. It mentally just wears on you.
I just think of when you're at the beach all day, you're there for an hour, and you get up and you just feel exhausted. I mean, you're sitting there not doing anything.
It's a good point.
But the sun just, it finds a way to get you.
It's the ultimate enemy of anybody beyond the sprinters. You know, 1,500, you're still okay, 5,000 maybe. But you start getting beyond that, it really is. And look, 10-miler this year. Everybody was saying how great they felt. It was overcast and cool.
Yeah, it was perfect.
The marathon a few weeks ago, people, you know, it was great weather. Lousy for standing. You know, on the surface, people say, oh, it's a horrible day. No.
Right.
40 degrees and overcast. And here we have this day with the beautiful sun, beautiful for spectating. The runners hated it. Boston, I learned, Boston Marathon is the third largest. You'll like this as a sportsman.
Sure.
There are only two other events, and I can't remember what they were. I think the Super Bowl might have been one of them. Two other sporting events in the United States that bring more money into the area, more dollars. Boston Marathon is third. And this is NCAA Final Four. It's Super Bowl. It's World Series. It's the U.S. Open. It's Masters. The economic impact, dollar-wise, the Boston Marathon is third. Pretty amazing. There are 27,000 runners. And like I said, a million people line the course. So, probably people are sick of hearing me talk about Boston, but good grief. Getting it right. Those are the people I'm going to call out that backed off. So, you know, you think getting it right is just the people at RamFest. Yeah, they got it right. The ones that punched their way through and the Mike Gaffneys and Linda Scandors, who really, really heroic efforts, gallant efforts to nail these really good times. But these guys, you know, a lot of times these people get forgotten because, oh, they quit or they backed off. No, it takes a lot. You're starting to feel bad. Start to unravel, to say, do I punch through, get myself in trouble, end up running maybe a bad time, right, something I'm not very psyched about, or do I just back off and have a good time? Kara Williams, Julia Bellis, Lisa Drake, Catherine Loughlin, and even my wife Cynthia, who didn't finish the race, she came out at 20 miles, just good attitude, said, I'm starting to get really, really uncomfortable out there. My time was slowing down. She went from an 8:07 mile to an 8:54 mile in 1 mile.
Oof.
That's how quickly she was falling apart. And she goes, no way. She's 53 years old, was the 13th woman at Boston back in the early 80s. She says, this isn't, at this given moment in my life, this isn't worth it to suffer that much. So, you know, my hat's off for people kind of knowing when to back off or knowing when to get out, even though on the surface that might be looking like quitting. Giving back to the community, Kate Lambert, Ethan Long at Run for Autism on Saturday. You were a part of it, Mike, along with the 670 other people. It looked like early word is that we might have broken our record of 55,000 last year. Again, congrats to everyone out there. And a big congrats to Nancy Hawes, who's the coach out at Western Elmer. She's the lacrosse coach, a state champion lacrosse coach. They won the Golden Stick Award for the most amount of participants from a lacrosse program, boys and girls at Western. I think there were 70-some-odd Western athletes. They compete each year in this for their prestigious, coveted Golden stick. It really is. It's been dipped in gold paint. It's a golden lacrosse stick. And St. Anne's was there. Charlottesville was there. And so anyway,
I remember seeing a lot of high school lacrosse t-shirts throughout the run. So I definitely recognize a lot of Western shirts out there.
On a kind of a down note, a little commentary here. There were some of the girls, quite a few of the girls from one school where I had these little scooters out there, and they were pushing along.
Yeah, I remember seeing
and
that.
And that's just a huge no-no in the sport of running. You know, it's one of the troubling things for me to see our sport continuing to loosen itself up more and more to the point that, I mean, that's not running if you're gliding along every 10 yards for another 20 yards. And
sure.
Then, And it was harmless on the girls' parts, but I told some of them afterwards, you know, next time, run on your own 2 feet. The other thing was I saw a couple of people get tripped up because they came behind. I saw one person go down. And I was, because of the rain, I wasn't paying attention. I probably wouldn't have let it go from the start. But, you know, just to call out to people in general, I suspect people listening to this know better, but, you know, you're in a foot race. That's what it is. It's a foot race.
Right.
And these are perfectly capable athletes, actually. And, you know, again, it was totally innocent. It's not the type of thing I want to chastise.
Sure.
To say, oh, my gosh, you know, what were you thinking? But, you know, it's just a call out to people to understand that these types of devices, you know, really take away from your performance in the event. Kind of news around the world, a very sad day yesterday, the passing of Greta Weitz, the great, great Norwegian marathoner. She was 57 years old. Mike, you probably don't know her name, but she won New York like 9 or 10 times, New York City Marathon, around the Bill Rogers era, in the late 70s through the early to mid 80s. She was the queen of the roads in New York. Beloved, modest, sweet, gentle, kind woman, had a great reputation. She was Joan Benoit's most feared nemesis. They were good friends, but in the early 80s, when these two women were making an assault, not only in world records, but getting ready for the first women's Olympic marathon, which, of course, was in L.A., Joan Benoit, of course, won that marathon, won the gold medal, but Greta Weitz was in that pack that was, I think Greta might have, she might have gotten the silver that day. That's bad, I'm trying to remember, but I think she did get the silver that day. Anyway, just a sad day for us old-timers in seeing the passing of her. Elizabeth Sinclair, she runs over at Albemarle, signed with Lehigh. Got her work cut out there as far as academics, but she's also going to run for him. So congrats to her. We're crazy about Elizabeth. She's one of our employees and a really, talk about modest, a tough competitor, modest. And then Bill Shilu, he works over at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory. He was down in Chile, he was telling me recently, Chile. He's 17,000 feet up, working at their big, they have one of these giant, one of those ones you kind of see in the movies, those gigantic satellite, you know, the ones that look like this, you know, they're 100 meters high, 100 meters across. And apparently that's one of the places that they call out to the gods beyond from there. And he got to run there. He said that was an amazing experience, 17,000 feet. Talk about oxygen debt. Anyway, looked like this helped him a little because he ran 80. Last year's time, 89 minutes at the 10-miler. This year, 83.
There you
See? Go. That could be you.
That could, yeah, 6 minutes
and beyond,
right there.
Yes. So, anyway. The running trivia, the answer, of course, we talked about Olympic trials last week, and here I predicted that we'd have two people this week. Well, one made it, and one is going to certainly make it, Seth, at some point here soon. But the person who actually, local person who won the Olympic marathon trials is Margaret Gross. She did it in 1988. She went on to be our number one representative in the women's field for the U.S. In Seoul in 1988. And of course, she's a UVA grad, and she ran 2 hours and 29 minutes that day at the Pittsburgh U.S. Olympic trials. This week, we're going to talk about Louise Knutson, our trivia question. She's the one who qualified. Of course, we just talked about her, that amazing 2:42. Although I don't think it's that amazing because I knew she could do it, but it's still an amazing time.
Mm-hmm.
She did not compete in college. She competed in high school, did not compete in college. Where did she go to school? Where was her college? And I'll give you a hint. It was a college that was very much in the news right before the NCAA tournament got rolling. Okay, so this weekend in the starting blocks, we got the Rainbow Run. This is a pro gay rights, awesome group, bunch of groups at UVA of combined talents, combined efforts, combined resources, and they're going to have a 5K run over at the university. Anybody that wants to support the cause, that's this Saturday. And good for those folks. Dogwood Track Classic is next Saturday. This weekend, the ACCs down at Durham. So Duke is hosting. And, of course, we're hosting next spring. Hence the reason the track's getting ready to be renovated. So good luck to Jason Vigilani, Mary Jane, and the whole gang, Adrian and Mike, all the coaches there. Good luck to your athletes. Dogwood Track Classic next Saturday. It's at Monticello High School. Because of the UVA renovation, we weren't sure when it was going to start. We're normally at UVA. It is the oldest, most prestigious track meet in the state for high schoolers. That's next Saturday. Folks want to come out and watch. Then a really great race. Mike, I really want to call out to people to try and get out and support this event. The Run for the River 5K and 10K. It's at the historic Green Springs course out in Louisa. The Go Gosh Louisa from Charlottesville. Such a long drive. Head down 64. 10 minutes, you get off the ramp at 15, go north, head towards Louisa for 2 miles, and there's Green Springs. It's 14,000 acres of pre-Civil War farms. It's been preserved by the government. Absolutely gorgeous scenery, soft surface. It's gravel, but soft surface, beautiful, beautiful, and that's 5K and 10K. Next Saturday, the 30th, then on Sunday next week, the Children's Fitness runs. That's May 1. That's the Charlottesville Day School. Stacy Bruins and company, Lance Wise, and wonderful event out at Panorama. If you want to run on grass, you got children, you want to have a fun time, that's next Sunday. You're into triathlons, Kate Lucas has got a great one for you next Sunday also out at Lake Monticello. It's the Olympic distance. So let's see, it's 1,500 meter swim and 40K bike and then a 10K run, which I'm helping them with the run. So that's all next weekend, big weekend. Runners of the week, oh my gosh, this is really a toughie to decide. Obviously, Louise Knudsen gets a big nod. Ninth American, like I said, impressive stuff. Heidi Johnson, first time ever under 3:30 at Boston. It's her 10th straight Boston. Happy anniversary to her. Here she runs 3:23, 7:47 a mile, so she's a contender for that runner of the week. Jim Ryan wanted to break 3 hours, 44-year-old dad, runs 2:56. He's ecstatic. Sarah Braivort, the 3:24, 3:03 down to 2:55 woman. And that's in 18 months she's done that. Kenny Ball, 54 years old, 728, amazing, 728 pace, 316 time. He's run six straight marathons, six straight PRs. I knock on wood every time I say that because, God, it just, when is it going to end? He's right. just incredible. I'm so impressed with him. Linda Scandor, 60 years old, runs 4:01, a 10-minute drop from her previous, most recent best time. And happy 70th to Henry Reeves. He ran 4 hours and 28 minutes at Boston. Great negative split effort. But I got to tell you, probably for me, the runner of the week as far as the effort, the tenacity, was Mike Gaffney. Here he is. I see him at 25 and a half. He's barely moving, Mike, and he's got a lean, like a leaning tower of Pisa, almost like a fast zombie. No slight, Mike, but my gosh, it was like The Walking Dead, like that AMC show that Annie and I, my daughter and I, just got to see that while we were at the beach. It was pretty cool stuff. She loves scary movies. So I've got a partner in crime to watch scary movies together. Anyway, Mike looked like that. We screamed for him, looking at my watch. His big goal was to break 3:40. Thinking, oh my gosh, can he do it? He went around the bend, less than a half mile to go, and he said, Mark, after I heard you guys screaming for me, I just stopped and walked after I went out of earshot. And ended up in the tent with the IVs. And when he came into the post-race party, he was one of the last people to show up because he'd been in the tent.
Yeah.
He had one of those silver foil blankets around him. The place erupted with cheers because everyone was worried about him. His daughter, Jessica. Oh, I forgot to mention Jessica. She ran the 5K the day before. Also, Jessica was so happy to see him because she'd been so worried about her dad. It was such a beautiful moment. And I thought, this son of a gun, no running background to speak of, has become this great gladiator of a marathoner. So a 3:42, a PR, despite, now there's a riddle, he walked the last half mile, still ran a PR. Imagine if the salt had still been in his system. You know, who knows, but whatever, it's a memory. So congrats to all of them. Really, anybody that finished the Boston, a great effort. So I guess next week will be a little bit of a letdown after having so much cool stuff to talk about with the Boston, but there'll be plenty to talk about in this great running world of Charlottesville. We are so blessed to have so many talented and fun people. So till next week, thanks for listening, everybody. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.